That's the one with the train, right? No.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Gordon Smooter from the Puppet Forge. We're going to talk about puppets, all sorts of puppets. Big puppets, little puppets, puppets that climb on rocks.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
Who have the last name by sheer coincidence. Last name.
And legal reasons.
My maiden name is McBride.
She's a Mick.
I dialed down the Irish when I married this one.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it was Molly Catherine McBride.
So what's your maiden name?
McBride. Yeah.
That's a good one, Gordon.
And we are joined by our guest, Gordon Smooter. Hi, Gordon. Welcome
Hello.
To the podcast.
Howdy.
Howdy. Gordon is a puppet creator, a puppet builder, and also a puppeteer. You may know him from Transylvania Television.
Yes.
And he's
I hope you know me from Transylvania Television.
If you don't know him from Transylvania Television, you really should.
Yeah.
Well, I've been pushing the show for like 10 years. So hopefully somebody out there has seen it.
And you can totally find it on the web.
It's so funny. It's all on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Yep, it is on YouTube. You can find it. Well, you can go to our website, which is Transylvania-TV.com. Or you can find it on YouTube, which is YouTube TV TV Online.
Okay.
That's a great...
TV makes it easy. So
it does.
So how did you get started as a puppeteer? I mean, did you start as building puppets or did you start as a puppeteer? Or a little of both?
It's funny because somebody asked me this a while ago and I realized that most people don't just become puppeteers like out of the blue one day.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of follow it through their whole life. You know, as a kid, you get into Sesame Street or you get into whatever.
Gateway drug.
Yeah, gateway drug, really. And what drew me to puppetry? I think I'm the exception to the rule. I think puppetry snuck up on me in a dark alley one day and rolled me for my change. and I was scarred for life. When did it start? When I was a kid, you know. But it was back in 2000 that I actually had the epiphany that one could be a puppeteer for a career.
Do you remember the first puppet you ever used? Like in a way that would be monumental, memorable, not just a sock or...
As a matter of fact, I do. My parents had taken me to some friend's house, and their kid had one of those vinyl Ernie puppets. The ones with the vinyl head.
Yeah.
I think it was a Fisher-Price.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
And I discovered this thing, and it just fascinated me. And so I was, like, playing with it. And then Jim Stafford came on the radio. And it was the credit card song by Jim Stafford. And I sat there, and I did the whole credit card song with Ernie the Muppet, just, you know, and...
Delighted yourself.
And myself. And all the adults sat there and watched me do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which, you know, was either very magnanimous of them or they were just stunned that this dorky punk kid was doing this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you had attention and feedback right there. I mean, you're validated the first time you tried to do
it. Yeah, I guess so.
I had a puppet that was Daniel the Cat from Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was my favorite thing in the whole world.
Daniel Striped Tiger.
It talked to me, and I talked back to it, like, a lot, just by myself. And my mom lost it somehow. Like, I don't remember exactly what happened, but then she replaced it with a Siamese cat puppet that was, like,
And that was it, the love affair.
No, I still played with it. It was my secret. I was a weird kid, Tim.
It was your only friend.
That's so hard to believe.
I know.
It really is.
Show of hands, who in this room was not a weird kid?
Exactly.
You can't tell whether we're showing our hands or not. This is radio.
So
Tim Rose's hand. We all saw it.
How?
So around 2000, and you worked for Minifex for a long time, right?
Yep.
Which is a local special effects house.
Yep.
Huh.
For locally produced television, web stuff, commercials, what have you. Were you building puppets there, or did you get into it for that, or did you get into that as a thing somehow, some other way?
Well, I started working at Minifex in 1990, I think. Yeah. And so, I mean, it was the skills and stuff that I learned at Minifex, of course, you know, eventually played into building puppets, but that was mostly miniatures and special effects and stuff like that for TV commercials and still photography. Lots of really high detail props for still photography. Mm-hmm. This was, I mean, you know, 1990 was just at the cusp of when digital retouching started happening.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were still in the need for, you know, when they wanted a picture of a beauty prop, we had to build that thing, whatever
sure,
it was.
Sure,
practical
or find
effects.
It at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Or, well, in the case of packaging, you know, they don't just take a package from the factory and put it in front of the camera and take a picture of it. They do a special package that has all of the crap taken off.
Yeah.
The UPC code is gone and all the
it's like a, it's blurred in a way that your mind doesn't notice it unless you're looking for it. So it just looks like a regular box. I love that stuff. I point it out to him all the time in TV shows. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's not Coke. It says cola in that font.
Yes.
In the same colors.
So it makes you think it's Coke even though it isn't.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And they don't have to pay product placement.
That's fantastic.
Your brain
that's
instantly recognizes it for the object it is and replaces it with the right thing.
Yeah. Now to tie that all into puppets, I just saw a post on Facebook a while back by Alan Maroka, who is the guy who is now in Mr. Hooper's store on Sesame Street.
Oh.
He's the gentleman who runs Mr. Hooper's store. And he reposted something that someone had put up of pictures of all of the products that are on the shelf in Mr. Hooper's store.
Oh, cool.
And it's all this weird, you know, it's all real product, but they've Greeked out all the labels. So that's a term, Greeked out.
Greeked
is,
out?
Is you know when you're when you read sample copy
like Lorem Ipsum.
Yeah. that's
it's Greeked
that's
out Greek. I
that's
love
Greek.
It
well it's not really Greek but they call
right.
it
right fake Greek
so yeah
fake
yeah
Greek.
No that's yes. great I get it
it's okay. Swedish chef Greek and so when you make a product that you know I mean I'm looking at a Mendota sparkling water right now if you took that and put a new label on it that'd be Greeking it out for the camera So all these products, just tons and tons of photos of all the products sitting on the shelves in the store on Sesame Street. And it was, you know, amazingly, there was not a can of Alphabet soup.
Oh.
I was stunned.
What are they thinking?
They already know their whole alphabet. They
true.
Talk about
That's
it all
true.
The time.
Yeah, they don't need any help.
Well, there's no alphabets left over to make soup.
Exactly.
Out of.
Not necessarily.
Use them all on the show.
Harvested.
Would you have them be importing expensive alphabets from outside of the street?
hell no, my taxes pay for
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Right. I want good old American domestic alphabets. I don't want any foreign characters.
No imported alphabets for me.
That's right.
So. You were working at Minifex and around 2000. Now, I assume you're doing puppeting, some puppet work at that time, or in the mid-90s, you were doing some puppetry.
I kind of rediscovered puppetry around that time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for a toy store, and, you know, we had puppets there, and I would goof around with the puppets for customers and that kind of thing. But around about 2000, maybe a little earlier than that, I started playing around with building puppets that's where it came from. Well, at Minifex, I'm sorry, I have a really bad memory, and so it takes a while to get around to the things. Now, Minifex had done a series of industrial films for Industrial Arts Supply Company, IASCO. And they sell all of the, you know, like plastic resins and all that kind of stuff
sure.
for schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this catalog, and they wanted a series of videos describing things like vacuum forming and resin casting and blow molding and, you know, all these different things to support their product line. They wanted to be able to have teachers show these videos to kids. So we did a series of videos for them that were three puppets. They were aliens. there was Private Tutor, Colonel O'Truth, and General Knowledge.
General Knowledge.
The aliens. And not only did I puppeteer all the puppets, I voiced all the puppets.
Oh, wow.
And we actually had someone build the puppets for us, and I was, you know, I paid real close attention to what she was doing. The thing is that she built them incredibly heavy. The heads were bigger than a basketball. Each one was bigger than a basketball, and it was solid foam.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
So, in fact, for one of them, she used a Nerf basketball, which is a little more dense than regular kind of furniture foam.
Yeah.
So it was solid, and it was heavy. And so here I was in front of a blue screen with these puppets, and I'm trying to match a voice track that I had already recorded of the dialogue.
And that's really hard.
And that's hard. But then these things are heavy. And so I would get halfway through a line and it's all technical jargon, so it's long. So I'd get halfway through a line, and my arm would just be completely ragged out. And so, like, by the end of the line, I wasn't matching lip sync anymore. I was just kind of flapping the head up and down, just trying to make it look like he was talking.
Well, you'd start great.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a copy of this anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could probably find a copy.
Puppets having a stroke in the middle of the description and just starts
So what we did with those was the characters were completely independent, and so we would just drop them into a digital background. And I don't think you ever see the characters together on screen at any given time because they were all just kind of, you know, I would shoot all of Colonel O'Truth lines and then I'd shoot all of, you know, what's the name's lines. And then they would just edit it together. But right around that time, I actually made a purple rat puppet that he ended up in the videos too. At one point, he's powering a spaceship by running on this giant wheel, and that was kind of fun. That was cute.
Do you really like rats and mice? Do you find them appealing visually and just kind of like I like goats and I like sheep and stuff. I mean, do rats and mice kind of strike a chord with you because they're in a lot of your work?
Yeah. I actually if I could be a anthropomorphic mouse the size of like, you know, Tom and Jerry mouse.
Disney mouse.
I would love that.
Really?
I would love that because I, you know, miniatures, right?
Sure.
That explains way too much.
Probably.
Because there's other stuff.
Well, there is. Yeah. I mean, actually, Gordon and I are working on a show right now that's going to come out. I don't know when it's going to come out. A few months. We're writing it right now.
Yeah.
Called Vermin, and it's all about rats.
See, because you mentioned that about, you were saying you were looking for people to write for it, and I remember thinking, oh, we don't have time to even, you know, like say we're interested, but then, the like, oh, it's rats, and then I thought, well, there's rats in TV, there's rats in Transylvania TV, and now you see there's a rat
first,
in this,
the first puppet that you built was a rat.
Well, and you make cute rats.
Yeah. And now, to reveal even more, I have a collection of Japanese netsuke of rats.
Oh, okay.
I call them mice because they're cute. But
sure.
I have a little shelf. I have a little shelf on the wall in the bedroom, and I have all these little netsuke,
that's really neat.
Hand-carved boxwood, you know, little rats. And, you know, I find them every so often. And
I'm that way with goats. I have my office at work, on a shelf, I probably have 20 to 25 little tiny miniature goats, ranging in size from this big to this big. And then at home I have an embarrassing number of stuffed ones that I'm trying to maybe like give away to kids. Cause it's like the little miniature toys or whatever, that's more like knickknacks, that seems okay.
You have like a 6-tier shelf of stuffed goats and sheep.
Yeah, and there's a few I'm never going to give up. But yeah, goats, just they delight me in all forms. They just, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, clearly rats are a thing.
Rats and mice, I don't know what it is.
Do you like Disney World?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he does. Who doesn't?
Well, I know, but you actually, I don't like Mickey Mouse, so that's, okay. I mean, I'm not really a, oh. I'm, I, it's all right.
To to paraphrase Robin Williams. It's a 6 foot fucking rat. Look out.
I'm so lukewarm on Disney.
You haven't
Disney
been.
World.
You don't get to. You don't
I've
get
been to Disney World.
You were little enough. I don't know, man.
I was 12.
I don't know, man.
It was mediocre. It was a really mediocre time.
You're a 12-year-old boy. You're a 12-year-old
boy. 12-year-old
boy. See,
no.
That's not for them. You got to go back. Yeah. We're going to go back.
You are way too cool at 12 but, okay. years old for Disney World.
So,
that's
hang
all
on. I'm gonna make an analogy here. I also find fireworks fairly boring. Like, it's like, oh, wow, puff, puff. Yep, there we are, lights in the sky. I feel that way about rides, about all the things in a theme park that are supposed to be like, wow, that was awesome and fun. I just feel like it's all fireworks.
I didn't
it's
realize
all...
I tied my life to a joyless bastard.
Yeah, I know. Look at this. It's like, no, his okay, life well, is drab and dull and then, sad.
It's not a cynical thing. I really, it's not a cynical thing. It's just like, well, I don't know, there are other experiences I'd rather be doing.
Well, so what are the things that excite you other well, than
I consume a lot of media, and I mean, like, you know, TV, movies, mm-hmm. video games, stuff like that. I mean, but then doing things, like we do comedy, we record a
sure.
podcast.
Shows,
we have shows. We work at the Renaissance Festival, you know, and
no, really, really. Work?
Well,
at the Renaissance Festival.
Hey, we work.
Oh, yeah, we do.
we kick ass out there. Actually,
okay, you're the ones.
So, to brag a little, the Renaissance Festival podcast does
awards.
their awards yearly,
it's
and
a voting
they
thing.
Just it's all voted on by like patrons, I think.
Anybody.
And so the results for 2013 just came out, and our duo Beefcake and Olive came in fifth nationally for street performing.
Group street performance. All the other yeah. ones were dance troupes.
You guys dance, dance or music.
You guys
or,
can totally turn that into zero money.
Oh, so I know. It's not about money.
It's not about money. It's incredibly flattering. That
if it
we're...
was about money, you wouldn't be at the
exactly.
Right,
if it was and I have a feeling building puppets for a living. You understand? It doesn't matter if it's about money. How's your?
It is.
You
it
guys
is,
had a Kickstarter, right? Like that's.
Yeah, we actually there's a project that I'm involved in called Funporium,
which sounds really awesome.
It's
actually.
it's a pilot for a sitcom, and I did get paid. I got paid to build puppets. Hooray!
That's awesome.
Living the dream.
Living the dream, exactly. I also performed along with. Charles Hubbell,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
who was a local actor and puppeteer and quite an amazing guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Neppel, who is with the Ridiculous Puppet Company.
Mm-hmm. And with Vilification Tennis.
And
with
Vilification
yeah.
Tennis.
Good friend of ours.
And a million other things.
Yeah.
He also works at the Renaissance Festival. He is Felton the Troll.
Yes, Felton the Troll. Felton, Lord Felton Harcourt. Osgood, yeah. Is it the third?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Did not make top five street performers. Just
not this
it
year.
Up.
Just not this year.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
Ooh,
or maybe
no.
a group or a solo.
Oh.
Bonnie. I'm sorry, Bonnie. I don't remember your last name.
See?
She's not listening. It's okay.
She actually worked on a local production of Avenue Q as Kate
oh, wow.
Monster.
Oh,
so she
awesome.
She came in and was the female one of the female puppet characters, and then John Jennings, who is a puppeteer who moved here from, well, actually he originally was in, he was out east and then he moved to Los Angeles and now he moved here and he's working with I think the Children's Theater, but he's currently back out in L.A. doing pre-show promo stuff for the new Muppet film that's coming.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Excellent. I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, that looks real. I'm very, very happy that they are keeping up, you know, it's like the...
So,
the spirit.
The momentum from the first
we're
one.
We're jumping all over the place, but you know, you and I think both, you know, we were both Muppet Show fans.
Yeah.
Way back. We're about the same age.
Are you Muppet hipstering us?
Yeah,
Muppster?
Yeah. But what did you think of the Muppets?
The first new film.
The first new film.
I thought that it was a very carefully considered film. They what they were trying very, very hard to do was to take all the Muppet fans by the hand and say, we can't do that thing anymore. We have to keep moving on in another direction, even the same direction, but we can't give you Jim Henson. He's dead.
We can't do Jim Henson, Frank Oz, and Muppets anymore because they're done.
Yeah. I mean, they're not only are they done, they're gone.
If you want Muppets to be successful, if you want more Muppets, if you want Muppets franchise to live, it has to grow and adapt to the change into a new audience. And I
think they did a very, very good job of doing that.
Sure.
Every film is going to have quibbles. I had quibbles with Muppets from Space. And even that was partially written by Jerry Jewell, who, you know, He was part of that, but he quit over that film.
well, it ruined Gonzo.
I watched a lot of the Muppet Show as a kid. Did you watch Muppet Show, Nick, or are you too young?
Okay, so I remember watching Muppet Show on like Nickelodeon.
Okay.
So in reruns, but the majority of the Muppet Show I watched was hanging out with this girl in high school and smoking weed and like skipping school and watching Muppet Show on VHS.
Sure.
And well, hanging out with a girl wasn't going anywhere, so I might as well watch the Muppets, right?
I feel like
I watched a lot of Muppets in high school.
I feel like for someone born in 78, I had a lot of 70s like TV and stuff and music that my parents were still very into, and like we watched a lot of they weren't really into the hot new thing all the time. Mm-hmm. But I watched a lot of Muppet Show, and I felt like that first new Muppet movie was doing a good job of keeping the spirit of big name celebrities, but who are also funny and have comedic timing. And it wasn't just about getting anyone in there because they have a good name. They picked good people.
Muppets was my introduction to Steve Martin. Like, that's why I knew who Steve Martin was as a comedian.
Would you
the Muppets.
Like to smell the cap?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I saw The Jerk at a video store, and I recognized Steve Martin from The Muppets, and so I watched The Jerk when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Yes.
That's the thing. I feel like I had a pretty good grasp of what was going on
and
most of the time.
That's why you did cocaine as a teenager.
One of my favorite things about The Muppets is how they have the bad guy names, like, so obvious. Like, this new one, I think his name is Bagai. Like,
bad
it's,
guy.
But he is like
Badgie.
Yeah. It's just that kind of stuff cracks me up. And
is
I think
it
that,
Ricky Gervais?
That's always struck me as being puppet humor, I feel. Like, it's pun-based, and it's a silliness, but also there's a level there it's kind of like a good Pixar film, you know, has a what do you, do you feel that's true?
The thing about puppets is that they are self-evident. When a puppet comes on screen, as soon as it opens its mouth, you know what it is.
Right.
You can't, there's, puppets don't have the even with CG, you can't make a puppet do a little wry smile or a wink at the camera or whatever.
Yeah.
The puppet has to be what it is.
Hmm.
And that's one of their greatest strengths. You know, I mean, people would look at that from a storytelling perspective and say, oh, that really limits me. Well,
the puppet can't emote. Right.
You know, but emoting comes from the voice and the inflection and the movement of the puppet.
Mm-hmm. Kermit's mouth crumbling.
It bends with the hand.
Yeah.
That was Jim Henson all the way with his, he realized right away that when you had puppets on television, you could get right up there on a puppet. And so he started working, trying to figure out how to make it so that you could really get as much expression as you could out of a face. But you'll notice that the great majority of Muppets are nothing but a mouth. They're,
sure, Fozzie.
Ernie and
Fozzie.
Ernie
Carrie
and
Don, Guy, Smiley, characters.
It's really nothing but a mouth. And they don't rely a lot on blinking eyes or eyes that move or wiggling ears. I mean, Fozzie Bear lost his wiggle ears like season 2.
Yeah.
he stopped using them because, Frank Oz said, the mechanism is too heavy. I don't want it in here. In fact, the original Fozzie Bear had a frown smile mechanism in the mouth that they got rid of right away. I mean, it was in the first episode and then gone.
Ralph, I mean, he's just got that gigantic
mouth. Yeah, yeah.
Ralph,
the majority of his personality is from his ears bouncing around whenever he does anything.
You called them something when we did our puppet thing for the opening ceremony sketches. Were they flappers? Or you said something like, oh, she's just a standard Like, and it was word you used.
The word that we used on TVTV for any extra puppet was YAP.
Yeah.
Which, all right. Which was an acronym for yet another puppet.
Oh. A filler puppet.
It's just a standard YAP. It just, for some reason, in my mind, that was linked to the mouth, since it wasn't it didn't have any kind of, bendableness. It was just a flapper mouth, like if you flapped your hand open and closed.
I mean, basically, a television puppet is nothing but a hinge that you operate with your hand, mm-hmm. and you pretend that it's a mouth. That's almost all of the Muppets are like that. Almost every puppet that I build is like that. I really do enjoy doing puppets that are really flexible in the mouth, but they're much more difficult to build than just that regular kind of hinge sort of thing. In my building so far, they're few and far between because it just takes a lot of extra time and effort to kind of engineer that.
What's your stance on sock puppets?
I love sock puppets. I did a talk at Dragon Con 2 years ago. Their inaugural year of a brand new puppetry track of programming at Dragon Con.
That's kind of awesome.
It is. That was Bo Brown. Bo Brown is the man in charge of that. He asked me to come in, and I did a talk about how to build puppets. Well, I only had an hour, and I could probably fill 5 hours of all the little tricks and techniques and stuff that I know about, building a puppet. But the first thing I said was, you got to remember, there's no wrong way to build a puppet. A puppet is nothing more than an inanimate object that you make look alive. It could, it could be Kermit the Frog, or it could be an orange.
Yeah.
And your manipulation of that object imbues it with a certain kind of life. And if you're good, people can have just as much of an emotional connection with an orange as they can with Fozzie Bear.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
I think even in the Muppets, there was some bear hand puppetry a few times, wasn't there? Where you'd have more than one person putting hands together to make, eyes and a mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Talking where they were on a... In Labyrinth.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Naked. Bear.
Yes. Bear hands. Right.
I was trying to figure out what bear
hands
were.
They got bears to do puppetry.
Is that... Do you consider that, puppetry, even though there's no material puppet?
Or object.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're... Yeah, you're...
The object you're animating is the hands.
Yeah. The thing is that you can take the definition of puppetry to a lot of different places. Look at Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas. Those are called puppets, those things, those objects.
Yeah.
They're being animated, but only one frame at a time.
But they're physical things that you can move and touch.
That you're moving and imbuing with a certain amount of life. Of course, you have to view it through a film in order to see the complete performance. But, that's called, that's a form of puppetry.
Maquinettes.
There's also digital puppetry now. Even CG characters are puppets. They're just made out of zeros and ones.
Sure.
Motion capture, performance
capture. Yeah.
So it's you can take the definition of puppetry a long ways. I don't. But
filter nothing.
I happen to love working with the fabric and the fur and the fleece and the foam and the felt and every other F word. But
his name's Jeff Knappel. We can just
financiers.
So we're getting to the point that we should do five questions. Before we do, I think we should talk a little bit about what you're working on right now. We've kind of touched on it, but I want to make sure, since we're doing this podcast and stuff and people ought to know what to look for. You're doing Funporium.
Yes.
Now that Kickstarter has closed and you made it.
Yes.
And it's a pilot for what's you're hoping is a web series or
it's
for Hulu or Netflix or something like that?
It's a new media sitcom. I don't know exactly where it is going to be housed yet. And I have to be clear, it's not my show.
Right.
But I am working on it and working for it. I play Butler the dog on the show. The show is about a cast of people, puppets, who work on a children's show, an edutainment show. And the main character, his name is Fritz. He's a bad, bad puppet. And so as part of his sentence for his crimes, he's sentenced to being on an edutainment show.
Community service.
Yeah, community service type thing. So it's very, it is very much like Greg the Bunny. But, you know, Greg the Bunny was a damn good show. So I'm not embarrassed about that at all.
And Tara Strong's in it.
Tara Strong.
Oh, yes. She's fantastic.
She was quite a bit of fun and a very nice person. She plays the kind of the, what is her job? She's one of the producers of the show.
Okay.
She's like the floor producer or something.
Okay. Sure.
You know,
I like her so much. I'm like officially a fan of hers.
Yeah.
She's Bubbles, Raven and Teen Titans.
Oh.
She does a lot of voices.
She's
Timmy in Fairly Odd Parents. She's
Batgirl in Batman the Animated Series. Yeah.
She's done like 300 characters you would know and recognize.
She's Rainbow Sparkle in My Little Pony.
That's a really great variety.
Twilight Sparkle, not Rainbow Sparkle.
Yeah, Twilight Sparkle. I was thinking he meant Rainbow Dash, and I was thinking, well, that makes sense because her voice is low like Raven's, but she has a really wide variety of pitches when she does her voices. That's great.
And she can also act as a regular human being.
She can.
It's crazy.
She did really well at keeping a straight face when we were just screwing around with the puppets.
Was she Harley Quinn, too?
I don't think so,
but I know she did a couple voices on Batman.
So that's Funkorium, and we don't know when that's going to come out. But then the other thing that I'm working on with you is Vermin.
Right.
Which is it's going to be a web series.
Yep.
It's about laboratory rats.
Yes. The main character is a lab rat who gets up every day, turns off the alarm clock, and, you know, puts on his clothes and goes to work at the testing lab.
His name's Ralph, by the way.
His name is Ralph.
Ralph the Rat.
And we are lucky to have one of the stars of MST3K interested with us.
Yeah.
We'll be working with Trace Ballou.
Oh, great.
He's
so awesome.
He will be appearing in the show. As a character in the show.
Sam the Scientist, in case you're wondering.
TV Sam the Scientist.
Alliterative. Yes.
Because the scientist and the rat are Ralph and Sam. If you're Warner Brothers cartoon, think back to Wile E. Coyote and the dog cartoons.
Yeah.
Yes.
The dog and the coyote were Ralph and Sam. That's why they're Ralph and Sam.
Morning, Ralph.
Morning, Sam.
Right.
That's what it's all
about. Wait, wasn't that wasn't the other dog? Because he would clock out on the time card machine on the tree, and the other dog would replace him.
Yes,
there was a cartoon where there were multiple dogs.
Yeah,
that would replace. But then there were several where it was just the one dog, the sheepdog, and Wile E. Coyote.
That was their job.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
That's why they're Ralph and Sam. It's our nod back to Warner Brothers cartoons. But, so we've got actually like a 21-episode arc all mapped out.
Oh, wow.
For this whole show. And there's a bunch of weird characters in the lab because all the lab rats are going through various types of tests.
Sure.
So we've got the paranoid lab rat with the tinfoil hat, who's the one that has to run the mazes and keeps talking about how they are always moving the cheese. And there's the super, super fat GMO testing rat that all he does is eat all day long, all the time.
Do you have a glowing rat?
Yes.
Just saying, glowing rat.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, there is a glowing rat.
All right. Fair enough.
There's a glowing rat.
There's a glowing rat I'm on. All right. And we know some other people that are working with you on that.
Yeah. Eric Thompson, a few other fearless folks, Emily Cook, David Walbridge, Duck Washington, and Kelvin Hatley are all writers.
Sweet.
So
we've
fleshed it out through the first through the pilot, I think.
Yeah.
We're hoping to have the first seven story arc kind of ready to go, and then
webbish, like YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Probably YouTube. I'm not sure yet. You know, it's gonna. YouTube seems to be the best platform to be able to get in free. And
what's the episode length? Like 15 minutes?
10.
10?
Yeah,
10 to 12 is what Cartoon Network does for all of their 15-minute shows, or 10 to 12 minutes, and then they just have 3 minutes of commercials at the very end. Mm-hmm. So they run the whole show, like Adventure Time, regular show, all the stuff on Adult Swim. So that's a good length to be getting into right now, because there's a lot of channels on like cable TV.
They're already breaking it up
and
they're
pulling from the web series.
If I had to speculate, I'd say we'll probably have it ready to go in the fall, don't you think?
Yeah.
August, September.
Well, I'm sure we'll mention it when it happens.
But it's fun. We've got a good writing team and
fantastic.
And it's exciting.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the being able to have a group of people sitting in a room and contributing to an idea is just one of the coolest things ever. If you ever get a chance to do that, do it, because that gestalt of ideas is just so much fun. People start throwing stuff out, and I had a really pretty solid idea of what I wanted the show to be, and then I got into the room with these people and suddenly a thing came up that kind of took it in a left-hand turn.
Yeah, there's this thing that happens in the second third of the season that is just like, holy shit, this is totally different than what we were talking about.
You know, I had no idea that was hiding around the corner.
Cool.
So it's a very good thing. Can't even say what it is, because if I do, it'll ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's going to be cool, and it's really exciting. So we got to move on to 5 questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we are getting to that point in our show.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to hand it off to Nick to ask question number one.
So question number one is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? Doesn't have to be in the theater. It could be Netflix or whatever.
Because the only movie I've seen in the last 30 days is, Jake and Dale.
Dale and Tucker versus Evil.
Dale and Tucker.
Yeah, you posted about that.
That's right, you posted that on Facebook. It's a clever movie.
It is. It is super clever. If you haven't seen it, see it, because it takes all of the conventions of the slasher at the lake movies and kind of turns them around and rewrites them so that it's surprising and kind of funny.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes.
It kind of does the same thing that Cabin in the Woods does, but in a completely and totally different way.
Right, yeah.
It's an examination of the genre.
Yeah.
But not in a way that's boring.
No, it's a comedy. It's hilarious.
It's a great
horror comedy.
It's a dark comedy. But,
very much.
But Alan Tudyk is in it.
Yeah.
Wash from Firefly.
Who's way talented as a voice actor, speaking of voice actors.
He's talented. He was in Dollhouse, too. He was really great
in Dollhouse.
Yeah. Now, he's talented in a lot of things, but he's been doing a lot of voice work with Disney movies, and you kind of go, whoa, he did that character, that character.
I think he was in a Justice League thing, too, as a...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
A Justice League.
He's been doing a lot of voice work.
Wasn't he the Flash at some point? I thought he played the Flash in something.
What?
He's in the Justice League thing as a Justice League person. Good job.
Well, fuck, man. I don't know which DC asshole he was. I don't know. I think he was the Flash.
All right.
Barry Allen, I think.
All right.
I think he was the Flash.
Question number two is, who is your favorite atheist character?
There are so many. And so few.
Yeah.
Michael Stivic.
Who?
Archie Bunker's son-in-law.
Oh, he's been mentioned once before.
Except
the person who mentioned it called him Meathead.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, everybody's going to say, you know, Han Solo.
Right.
There's a lot of Han Solo, a lot of Captain Mal Reynolds.
Brian the Dog is one of my other
Brian friends. The Dog is a good answer for that. Like, that's,
I don't think anyone's picked that yet.
I don't think so. So Seth MacFarlane. I mean, but he's been made less of an extension of him and more of his own character after that first season.
I like that the character development for Brian is that he's kind of a fuckface, he's kind of despicable, but he's masquerading as a very moral upstanding person who is very judgmental of others for not living up to his standard. And then he does very despicable things, and he's kind of a fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, and
he's got
and
a very selective morality.
Very hypocritical and contradictory to himself, and like just a double standard to which he holds all the other characters.
Kind of like Seth MacFarlane.
No, totally. Totally. It's and I don't mean that in a like I hate the character because he's an asshole. That's I like the character because he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay, so question number 3, what is your geekiest hobby? This might be a slam dunk.
It can't be puppets because you got paid to do it now. You're a professional.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not yet.
My geekiest hobby is which one?
Yeah, I know. You've got so many.
Yeah, the secret hobby that I'll reveal right now. Is that whenever I meet anyone, I immediately put them on one of two lists.
Okay.
And what are the lists?
I'm going to save them if there's a zombie apocalypse, or I'm going to trip them and run away.
I love it.
Just separate the wheat from the chaff.
I don't
want to
know.
Yeah.
I don't
want
to know.
And usually, you know, it's right away.
I know where whenever, I am. I know a list I'm on.
Molly and I have
fast
talked.
Run.
We have
really
shit.
Fast.
It's not, with her, it's not just a matter of how fast, it's how far. You need someone to go make a supply run. Yeah, pack animal, send her out.
No, actually, that's a lie. my real geek hobby is Playmobil.
Really?
Oh. Really?
I love Playmobil.
I do too. Huh.
And it's, you know, most people get it confused with like Play School.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
little people, Fisher Price. Yeah. Playmobil is a German toy system that it first appeared in America in like 1975. And it's the little people, they have little happy smiley faces, little round heads, and their hands, you can snap tools mm-hmm. into their hands.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a geek for Playmobil that I wrote to the company and I had a letter exchange with the man who created Playmobil. His name is Hans Beck.
Huh.
That's awesome.
And I suggested ideas for the Knights and Castles theme.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. No, I love those. As a kid.
And they took them.
Oh, wow. So what idea is yours?
Arrow slots in the castle walls.
Yes.
I wrote and I said, you know what? You've got walls that are blank and you got walls with windows. You need walls with like arrow slots in them. And so I did some drawings and I sent them off. And Hans Beck was nice enough to write me back via his secretary. He didn't speak a word English. I got to pick from that year's catalog pretty much everything I wanted.
That's wow.
So I got a shipment of a box that was... the box itself was about the size of one of those small refrigerators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you know, I got a pretty big...
So do you take them out of the box and make tableaus, or are they...
yeah.
I have to tell you...
toys are worthless if you keep them in the package. Get
agreed.
Them play
Gordon,
with them.
Gordon, I'm so excited right now because, like, my secret is that I prefer Playmobil to Lego.
Oh.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Like, I love it so much. I have...
Hang on.
The girl...
That's the wedding ring.
He does it all the time. I have the girl feeding goats, and she has a little bottle, and she has two little cabbages she can feed the goats. Uh-huh. That's at my desk. I every now and then, when if I'm having a bad day, I'm like, feed the goat. I feel right. better.
I also
prefer Lego because there is no Playmobil Millennium Falcon, so I'm just saying.
Mm.
Well, I mean, to be
I totally
fair,
get that.
The Lego minifig kind of ripped off the Playmobil figure. I mean... The sure. hands, the way they're articulated, the points in which they're articulated.
See, now you didn't grow up in the 70s when the original Lego figure came out.
They were awful.
They had big round heads, and they had hyper-articulated arms, which was really weird, and legs that didn't exist. So you took the square Lego blocks, you stacked them up, and then you put a slanted Lego block for the feet.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then you had like this weird shoulder piece with hyper-articulated arms with hands that were just a circle. They were like a paddle. And then the round head and then the hair that snapped on.
Look, all I'm saying is Lego has the Millennium Falcon.
And Indiana Jones.
And Indiana Jones.
If there was a Playmobil Indiana Jones, you'd be all over
I would be. I do not deny that for a second.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, lucky for you, I happen to also play around with customizing Playmobil figures.
Oh, so, my birthday's in September.
I'll think about just it. Saying. But we, okay. Jennifer and I have actually run Dungeons & Dragons games with Playmobil as your miniatures. Awesome. We built dungeons out of the walls of the castle and ran people through. And there were little chests and things that you can open up.
That's awesome.
So we would put, like, you know, inside the chest, we'd put a little note that said, this was trapped, and you just suffered 5 points of damage. You know, stuff like that. We ran a D&D game now.
That's here's fun. Your deck of many things. All right.
Question four is, what is your favorite sandwich? And be specific.
Specifically, I make a killer Reuben sandwich.
Yeah, another Reuben's vote for the Reuben.
King of sandwiches.
Very popular.
It is. Now, strangely enough, corned beef is one of those things that is this bizarre leftover from, oh, we have to figure out a way to keep this meat from spoiling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they figured out an awesome way.
They did. They did.
All the best food comes from poor people trying to scrape by.
Yeah. Lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
All of French cuisine's based on that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Gross meat, delicious sauce.
Now, while Reuben is the sandwich that I do best, I also really do enjoy, there's those chocolate sandwiches out at the state fair.
I haven't had a chocolate sandwich.
It's really amazing. There's this little booth. It's right next to the Coliseum. And I know the one
you're talking about.
They do a melted chocolate sandwich that's just...
The sandwich has melted chocolate between bread?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which will kick your ass.
Like Nutella? It's just,
like a grilled cheese.
No. They take hard chocolate and melt it. It's not like they don't take like pre.
It's not a spread.
Fake. They don't take fake melted.
It's not. It's like a grilled
Nutella
cheese.
Nutella is not real melted chocolate.
Because I know because it's a spread. I used to make grilled Nutella and peanut butter sandwiches. That was something I made a lot.
No, but this is
as a 22-year-old stoner who was eating just fat.
It's got like a they put powdered sugar on it. Oh, it's just
it's pretty insane.
It'll drive you right to your
bread. With bread,
You make a Reuben, do you use like rye, pumpernickel?
I use a really good marble rye.
Mm-hmm. Marble is the best.
I also don't use canned sauerkraut. Mm. I get the stuff in the plastic bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh yeah, fancy. Well, that's better.
Refrigerator case, and then usually I will splurge and get like a boar's head corned beef.
If you're gonna make it, you're not gonna do corned beef.
We had that boar's head at the roast beef at the Oscars party.
That was good.
You grill it.
I used to have one of those George Foreman.
Things,
and those work really well. But we actually got ourselves a real decent griddle now.
Mm.
And so when you make the sandwich, you butter the outside of it.
Yes.
So that it gets nice and crispy on the outside.
Yes.
And then you make sure it's heated well through. And
mm-hmm.
Now, Kramarchuk's Deli, they make a killer Reuben.
Is that how you say that?
Kramarchuk's?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I say
it. That's how he says that.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to say it. I've never been able to figure out how to pronounce it. It's right next. Every people are like, where's honey? I'm like, it's next to the Krusgermrisk. The deli.
Oh, that place?
Yeah, the deli by honey.
They have Reubens?
Oh,
deli.
Oh, if you have not been there, I walked through once
and I bought some beef jerky because I love the jerky.
It's filled with sausage.
But that's the thing. I don't eat pork.
Okay.
So when I walk into a deli, especially a deli that's like, Polish?
Yep.
It's just like I am assaulted by pork. Like, it's just everywhere, and I just kind of assume that everything in there is pork because it's not safe for me to eat.
You can. Someday we'll go and we'll get you.
It'll happen.
Because they have killer sauerkraut.
Mmm.
And
yum.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well,
actually, I'm going to have to look into that because they might have, their sauerkraut might actually have pork in it.
A lot of places do that, like German potato salad. But
anyway. So.
Question five is, what is the stupidest thing anyone has ever said to you about being an atheist? Which
we haven't really brought up at all, but you are.
But I am. Yes, atheist / humanist / general non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know, there's the big one is always the whole, you know, How can you find any morality if you don't believe in God?
Yeah.
And it's just that's wholly convenient for people who don't understand that society existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years before Christianity happened.
Well, it's because they don't believe that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, but, it's really easy to...
And
to,
even then, with Christianity, there are parts of the Bible that they choose to follow and parts that they choose to accept as you know, an allegory or whatever, or parts that, oh, we don't believe in those parts because of, you know, we don't like those parts.
Right.
And it's like, you don't really, they don't realize that by picking and choosing, they are, the source of their own morality.
Yeah. I look at folks like that and I say, look, you're either playing by your rules or you're not.
Yeah.
So play by your rules and go stone your daughter for having sex before marriage.
Exactly. Or admit that it's all ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a desert survival guide for another time.
All right. Well, awesome. You know, before we close, I do have to point out that Gordon, second guest ever on Geeks Without God to bring us swag. He brought us Green Lantern puppets.
Tiny little...
They're finger puppets with arm sticks.
They have armatures? Is that what it's...
No, they have arm rods.
They have tiny little arm rods.
And they have Green Lantern rings on them.
They do.
On their hands.
And mine has green cuffs so I can tell the difference between mine and Nick's. Which is very important.
Mine has black cuffs, but it's mine, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I got mine first, so mine's Hal Jordan. I made that really clear.
It's true, he did.
Go ahead.
And by that, I mean he made it really clear.
I did. I mean, I'm continuing to make it clear. Now it's recorded. It's going out in public.
Well, my Green Lantern
is Hal Jordan.
Well, you also have to thank my wife, Jennifer, because she actually decorated those finger puppets.
Thank you, Jennifer.
She did the little Green Lantern logos. And
the tiny rings are so great. Like, they're just... I love it. All of it is so great. And his hair. Oh, it's so cool.
Well, definitely, we got to post a picture.
Well, of course.
Mine's Guy Gardner. Take that.
So.
Well, then mine's the F sharp bell.
There you go. There it is.
You know what I realized in recording this, just real quick before we go? I think, Gordon, that I heard your voice on Transylvania Television before ever hearing you speak in person.
Okay. Oh, I know. I heard him on TV before I met him, or ever hearing him.
And so, always in my mind, your voice will always be a puppet voice to me. Does that make sense?
You're always going to hear me talk like Furry Acker Monster.
Kind of.
You're always going to hear me talking like Furry Acker Monster.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. It'll always be like, puppet voice.
So, once again, where can they find Transylvania Television?
Transylvania-TV.com or on YouTube at TVTV Online.
Awesome. And keep your eyes open for more information about Funporium and Vermin.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us, Gordon.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
We have been Geeks Without God. I'm going to remind you to go out and rate us on iTunes. Do that iTunes rating thing. And thanks so much for all your support on our Camp Quest fundraiser. That was super awesome. We really appreciated all the support there. We raised a lot of money for a very good cause.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, everyone. The best listeners anywhere.
Most attractive, too.
Oh, ah, my God. You are all.
I know they're turning me on.
You're the best.
Now they just turned us off.
And we're out.
Before you go, we have one more thing to tell you about. This weekend, April 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're going to be part of Die Laughing at the Airport Hilton with Fearless Comedy Productions. We'll be doing a podcast on Friday the 4th from 11 to midnight, and we'll be doing a podcast on Sunday the 6th from 1 to 2 a.m. If you would like to come watch us live, we would love to see you. Please come up and say hello. We also have a fundraising challenge for Fearless. If we can raise $333 over the weekend, Nick and me will shave our heads bald. Now that sounds pretty cool, but it gets better. If we can raise $666 for Fearless, then all three of us are going to go to church at the mega church near Nick and Molly's house. We will sit through the service, we will be quiet, we will be respectful, and then we will record a podcast afterwards. So please, support Fearless Comedy, go check out their website at dielaughingmarathon.com, and you can learn more about our fundraising challenge. If you can't make it to the event, you can always donate online and just put a note that it's to send Geeks Without God to church.
This is Furry Acker Monster from Transylvania Television. You've been listening to Geeks with...
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Actually, the person you replaced tonight was Joseph.
Yeah. Here's what you do. You tell him that you did him a favor, and then now you want to be obsessed.